Father, Lord, why do you and I just, as it were, Lord, silence our hearts, but yet giving us ears to hear what you have to say, what you have to say.
Yeah.
Lord, knowing that there is none, no one else like you. You are the only one. Let our ears, our hearts be open, Lord, to our dear brother as he brings the word, as he just brings that which you have laid upon his heart. For each of us to hear what you have to say. Hallelujah, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for those that are in our midst. Not that we seek, Lord, to be above anybody, but we are all one in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Savior of our souls. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Welcome, Paul, to our midst. I know we've known each other for a long time. You've known Rora for a long time. Lord bless you, brother.
Thank you.
All right.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we've been able to worship you. What a wonderful thing it is to worship Jesus together. Lord, what higher privilege is there but to come and bow before you and worship you. Lord, we truly honor you. And Father, we pray, Lord, that your word would find that place in each of our hearts that you want it to. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. You are so given to us, so for us today. And we pray, Lord, oh Father, may our hearts just be enraptured with you now, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, hi there. Hello, everyone. if you don't know, I'm Paul Cross. My two sons are here. I don't know where Mark's gone. Disappeared, but Mark's here. We are here for the MLG Elders Retreat, and we're staying on a couple of days to do some work down here. I'm just getting used to being retired. Malcolm tell me off for saying that. I've been a pastor for 28 years, and I felt last year that it was time to hand on that responsibility and to be moved to be near our family and where the church which we planted in Orpington in 2006, which Tim now runs, and doing a great job doing that. And he's the now, I would say, the anointed leader. So I'm having to get used to being just a dog's body. But we're all dog's body in the Lord, aren't we? I also have to get used to being called Tim or Mark's father rather than Tim is my dad. Anyway, so sorry, I'm Tim's dad. Sorry, I didn't say it very well. Good, okay. This is, I hope I'm not too rusty. I haven't preached for 6 months now. So thank you for the privilege of being able to share with you this morning. I suppose most of us saw the coronation of the king a couple of weeks ago. Great long ceremony. I found parts of it a bit tedious. But, it's good to have these ceremonies, isn't it? But one of the central things was, you remember that time when Charles is disrobed and he goes behind a screen? And you can think, well, that's a really peculiar thing to happen. But I understand that what was actually happening was that he is anointed. Imagine you've got the world's media trained on this ceremony, And yet at this moment, no one can see what's going on. It's rather strange, isn't it? And I found that perhaps the most interesting part, because really what was happening was Charles was actually anointed at that point by the powers that be, by the ministers around him. And of course, that's real. I think, I don't think it came out, but I'm sure that the history of that is the fact that this was something being done before God, that this was between him and God. He was being anointed by God to be the king. And I want to talk this morning about anointing. And because I realized that in anointing, there are two things that happen. An anointing enables, A, gives you permission to do something, and secondly, gives you power to accomplish it. By making Charles king, I know it doesn't apply so much now, but he would, in olden days, he would then be able to lead the country into war. And first of all, he'd be given permission to make war where he wanted to. And secondly, he'd be given the power by giving the resources, the troops and everything to be able to wage that war. So there's two aspects really to an anointing. There's permission and there's power. And anointing comes from a higher authority, always. From God, ultimately, but then passed on, the idea being that I suppose those ministers were giving him authority, having come from God, to then go and be king. And so we see this idea of anointing in our Bibles. And I'm going to turn you to Exodus and chapter 30. I'll find my scripture notes somewhere here. You got all bits of paper in your Bible. And of course, because I'm away from home, somewhere here, I've written these notes. Oh, there we are. It's in there. Yeah, Exodus 30. Let's turn to that. We pick it up in verse 30. And you shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them, that they may minister to me as priests. And you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil to me throughout your generations. It shall not be poured on man's flesh, nor shall you make any other like it, according to its composition. It is holy. It shall be holy to you. Whoever compounds any like it, or whoever puts any of it on an outsider, shall be cut off from his people. Aaron, the priest, was anointed with oil. This was the sign that he was to be the high priest, and that his role was to be, in those days, the mediator between God and man. Now, we know that Jesus is our mediator, but that was the system set up. Aaron and the other priests were to be the mediators. They were to offer the sacrifices. They were to light the lights, and that in the temple each day, or in the tabernacle. That was their job. That was their anointing. And they were given permission to do that, and they were given power to go and offer the animals and everything like that. They were given the resources to do that. But they were anointed to do that. And when I read this, I thought, well, this is speaks of, where, how does that apply to us? I'm a great, I love applying theology. I'm not a theologian. I really like applying things practically to people. What does that mean for us? Why read that scripture this morning? Well, I believe it speaks of an anointing which we can all receive. It says we're kings and priests unto God. And to be a king or a priest, you've got to have an anointing. We saw that with Charles. We see that in the scripture here. And therefore, each one of us, if we're in relationship with Jesus, we have an anointing this morning. You have an anointing. Not just for Malcolm or whoever you think is eldership around here. But it is for each one of us. We have an anointing. And the first and most fundamental effect of that anointing is that it brings us into relationship with God. These priests, their job was to mediate. Their job was to, if you like, connect the people with God. The people had to go through the priest to get to God in those days. Not true for us, but true then. And so it speaks, this anointing is to bring us into a relationship with God. That is where we start. And if you don't know that, this is what you can receive today. You can receive an anointing from God that brings you into relationship with him through Jesus. And interesting, if we read the previous few verses, we talk about these spices. This anointing oil was made up of spices. One of them was myrrh, which is a burial ointment. And these spices would have been crushed together, bashed together by the perfumer, it says, and made into this wonderful oil. No doubt it smelt of the spices that it was made of. But it was crushed together. And to me, that speaks of the cross. Jesus Christ has died for us. If you like, he's the anointing oil upon our lives. As he has gone through the cross and it is applied to our lives, so it brings us into a relationship with him. Isn't that wonderful? And that's our privilege. If we're missing out on that, you have you are able to have a relationship with God this morning through the anointing that Jesus Christ has achieved for you. That's wonderful. That's glorious. It's there. He's done it. And it's just there to be received. And it's our right. It's our right almost because of what Jesus has done to receive that and to enter into it. But it says two things about this anointing oil here. It says, it shall not be poured on man's flesh. Verse 32. We were in our elders retreat yesterday. We were talking to someone made a comment and says, we need more Christians in the church. What do you mean by that? And then I think someone else then explained that people can treat God like their doctor. Okay, yeah, you've got a problem, you go to him, you know, he's nice and kind, and he gives you something to help your problem and sort your problem out, and then you go away again. That's how we treat our doctors, isn't it? We might say thank you, and that's about it. But God doesn't just want to be your doctor this morning. He wants you to enter into this relationship where it's you and him continually walking together. That's what he wants. And it's not to be, you know, when they anointed those priests, and if you read Psalm 133, it talks of this, doesn't it? They had a turban on their head, and the oil would go on the turban, and it would run off the turban down their beard, onto their clothes, all these wonderful clothes that they had for their priestly ministry. It says right down to the hem of their garment, so it touched the world. And you realize that it wasn't to touch their flesh, this anointing oil. And this is, it's beyond what you feel, this anointing. It's not about what you feel. It's about you and God being exposed together, being open to one another, and just you and him face to face. This is what priestly ministry is about. This is what the anointing's for, that you can be face to face with God. And it's not about what you feel, what's going on around you and everything else. It's you. One of the things that I am very keen on in my own life is the fact that I want to spend time waiting on the Lord every day. I think that's essential for me, where you just don't, you know, and all the busyness of the day and the problems and the things you're thinking about, they just start to fall away. Where I get alone with God, this is my anointing that he's put within me. I can find that place. And it's wonderful. But it's not about my flesh. My flesh might be all worried about this and concerned about that and, oh, excited for this. That might be what my day is going to be about. But the important thing, the most important fundamental thing is that I'm right with God. I'm face to face with God. It's not my flesh. It's me and him together. And the second thing it says here in verse 32, it says, "You'll not make any other like it according to its composition. Whoever compounds any like it, whoever puts any of it on an outsider, shall be cut off from his people." You know, you can't fake this. You cannot fake this anointing. There are all sorts of ways in the world people try and fake a spiritual experience with God. You know, get yourself excited. You know, stir yourself up. You know, make yourself happy or something. And that isn't what it's about. The anointing's not about that. It's about you and God. You're receiving it directly from him. You can't manufacture it. And we shouldn't try and encourage people to manufacture it. We each have to come to God and receive this from God. This is our birthright. The anointing is our birthright that we can receive. And this is what the priests were. There they were, mediating between God and man. And they had this anointing from God to do it. We can receive that anointing this morning and live in it. Live in the glory of it. Isn't it wonderful? Amen. Amen. So that's the first thing I want to say about this anointing that we can receive. The second one we find in 1 Samuel chapter 16. It concerns David. David was a shepherd boy. And it says in verse 13, chapter 16, "Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him," that's David, "in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah." David here is anointed from being a shepherd boy to being a king. Quite a step forward, you could say, in his life. And there is that sense where this anointing is to enable us to move into what we're not naturally, where we can become what almost we're not. He was a shepherd boy. He was the least of eight brothers. And yet, through this anointing, he became king. And he ended up reigning for 40 years as a result of this anointing. Now, the first thing to say about this anointing is it was immediately going to cause him trouble. He was anointed in the midst of his brothers. Imagine that, having seven older brothers, and you're the chosen one to be king by the prophet. He must immediately recognize, boy, this is going to cause me trouble with them. And yet he embraces it. It says, "But the Spirit of the Lord is upon him." And we can believe that when God anoints us, then it might cause us trouble. And boy, did David have trouble in his life. For 13 years, there he was, fleeing from Saul, trying to avoid being killed by Saul as a result of this. And yet, we read that what carried him through, it was that anointing. The anointing carried him through because God had chosen him and anointed. He'd given him permission and he'd given him power to be that king that he became. So there is that sense where the anointing does give us the power to live what we think we can't be. We become something almost we're not as a result of the anointing that's upon us. And may I encourage you this morning that if God has spoken things into your life, God will work them out. And it made David very secure. I think so many people are insecure in their life because they're not living in that, the anointing God's put within them. And they're thinking they've got to try and do something, but rather let God work it out. David had this amazing ability, didn't he, that he could believe that although Saul was trying to kill him, that God would deal with Saul. And even though he was twice in David's hands to kill, David wouldn't touch him. He wouldn't touch him. Why? Because he was secure in his anointing. He knew God had anointed him, and therefore it would all work out. Isn't that amazing? We can have that sort of security. What God has put within our hearts, he is going to work out in his time. Isn't that wonderful? And we don't have to, because what happens naturally is we think, oh, hang on, I better do this and I better do that. I'm in, as I said, a slightly strange position in that I've stepped back from pastoral ministry and I'm wondering what's next in my life. And there is a temptation to fill my life with all sorts of things, to say, actually, oh, perhaps I'll do this, perhaps I'll do that. But I want what God, I've got to wait on what God has anointed me to do at this phase of my life. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to move in what God has anointed us to do, rather than just something because it seems like a good idea. Are we prepared to wait? David had to wait 13 years before he came into the thing he was anointed to do. 13 years. I know that for me, I remember the Lord clearly called me in the ministry one Saturday morning. In August, just after I first come to the conference here, and 2 years it was before I got the opportunity to be the pastor. 2 years, all sorts of ups and downs in those 2 years, and was out of work, didn't know what was going on, stuff like that. But God did it, and just had to wait for God to work it out. So if God's put something in your heart, then he will work that out in his time. There's another scripture in 1 John. And that's 1 John chapter 2. It says this, verse 24, therefore let that abide in you which was heard from the beginning, if you like, that which you've been anointed to do. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Do we believe that we've received an anointing from God that will teach us? As long as all we got to do is abide in him. Abide in him. But I think so many people go wrong because they think they've got to fix this or fix that. They've got to do this or that, instead of listening to what God is saying in their hearts. What's God saying about that? Not what do you think about that. That's the thing about our elders' time. Sometimes people are sharing all sorts of things that they think. And a lovely time this time, we spent a lot of time praying. There wasn't so much talking. That was a good thing. But you realise, because we want to hear what the Spirit's saying. We want to live by the anointing. God, he says, if you abide in me, you've got an anointing. Yes. All you got to do is abide and walk in that. David had to abide for those 13 years. And as he did, so it taught him. Don't kill Saul. Don't do the natural thing. You know, his men said to him, you're crazy. You know, he's in your hands. Kill him. Get your problem, get rid of their problem. But they were. But David walked with the Lord. He walked by his anointing. He knew God anointed him. God would bring him king at the right time. And so he did. And so he did for 40 years. And we read that, 13 years later, people came and anointed him. You can read that in 2 Samuel 2:4. And then he was anointed again in 2 Samuel 5:3 for the whole of Israel. But there, that's another issue. But you realize that, at times I think about humility. And I realize that when you're moving in your anointing, you can be humble. You just have to accept that. The call of, when we're moving in the call of God, the anointing of God, we can just be humble in that. Just be humble. I'm wonderful. I'm going to call John out here. John's been he was an elder with me for 13 years before I moved to Worthing. And John's never, he never tried to preach or usurp himself in any way. John's just happy to move in the anointing that he's got. And it's a wonderful anointing. Tremendous help he's been to me. But he's not up the front. But it's the anointing of God. He's learned to live in his anointing. Sorry, John, call you out. My little bit of a... So the anointing. Just be humble in the thing God's given you to do. Listen to God and do that. You've got to work out the consequences and the circumstances around that. So that's the second thing I want to read. To talk about, you know, the third thing is this. In Isaiah chapter 10, it says something else about the anointing. It says the Israelites were under threat from the Assyrians, this powerful army that were taking all ahead of them. And it says this, verse 27, it shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder, the burden of the Assyrians, and his yoke from your neck. And the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. Now, that's a very strange expression. The yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. for some reason, I've been reading pioneer biographies in the last 2 or 3 months. I don't know why. I mean, why, when you're retired, you start reading about pioneer missions. I don't know. But anyway, I've read the one about John Payton. He was a missionary to the South Seas in the 1800s. Fantastic, absolutely amazing what he went through. And God moved, and God came and moved in those islands. But when I read the book, interesting, the thing which really broke through and caused a breakthrough was when he decided to build a well. Now, he had salt water around the edge, and they didn't have a lot of rain, and the rain was the only way of getting fresh water. So there wasn't a lot of it didn't have a lot of water, really, pure water. So he thought the way it's really going to speak to them was if I dig a well and there's fresh water at the bottom of this well. And so he decides to dig this well. And he digs down. His great prayer was, "Oh, please, Lord, let there be fresh water at the bottom of the well and not salt water." Anyway, he dug this well. And they said, "You're bonkers." The resident said, "You are absolutely bonkers, because water only comes from above. It doesn't come from underneath. You can't get you can't get water from the earth. You get water from the sky. You're bonkers." So he said, "No, I'm going to dig this well." So he went digging, and he got about 10 foot deep, was it? Now, 10 foot's quite a lot. I mean, that's twice my height, or whatever, or nearly twice my, or about that, or 12 foot, whatever it was he got. And then it caved in. And the residents all got very frightened at this. So after that, they refused to help him. So there he was, this man, he must have been a strong man, digging this well on his own. And he dug down, and he dug down. And he ended up, he hit water at 34 foot. Now, I cannot imagine digging a well 34 foot deep. Now, that is, what's that? That's a three-story building, isn't it? The height of a three-story building. He dug down, and then he hit the water, and he tasted it, and it was nice. it was water. It wasn't totally pure, but it was pretty pure water, and it absolutely broke something in the islands, because they said this is impossible. Water's coming up from underneath. The water was there, and he started. And they got the well, and they got fresh water from the well. But the point I want to make is, that water was there all the time. It was there all the time, but it got buried by everything, by all the surrounding area. And he had to dig down. He had to dig down, dig 34 to foot until he hit this water. And in fact, they had spiritual revival as a result. And they said, wow, amazing, water can come up from underneath. And I think that's a picture for me. You see, those of us that think, Lord, please move, if only you move upon us and come and pour yourself out upon us. And God's saying, but I put the anointing within you already. It's there. It's underneath. And what happens is that anointing gets buried. It gets buried by everything that goes on in life. You know, your disappointments and your pressures and your concerns and everything that comes in, and it all gets buried. And we're there, and we can't sense God. And oh dear. And I think some of us need to do some reburying, some redigging in our lives, and get rid of that stuff that's got silted up. That the anointing is getting silted up, and we say, Lord, if only you do something fresh. And God's saying, but I'm there. I'm here all the time. I'm there at the bottom. It's there. The water was there all the time. And someone just had to dig down until they hit it. And there may be a place where you've got to dig down into your life. You've got to come before the Lord and say, here we are, Lord. I'm going to get rid of the rubbish. I'm going to give you the stuff that's silting me up. I'm going to have to give you my worries and concerns, and I'm going to have to spend time with you. Until I know you again, and you afresh in my life, coming and filling me, not from above, not from outside, but from underneath. Amen. From the depths of my heart. Would you do that this morning? That's what breaks the yoke, the anointing oil, because the anointing's there. And it's a question of just receiving, just digging and getting free of all that rubbish that comes in, all the worries, all the concerns, all the heartaches, the griefs, all that, getting through all that and saying, Lord, I want you. Amen. Underneath it all, I believe you're there. Amen. And I need, but Lord, I want you. I want your life. Lord, all the other stuff that's crowding in is destroying me. I want you. I want that life afresh. That's the anointing. It's in you already. It's not got to come from outside. Yeah, maybe if you don't know the Lord, you never known it. But yeah, you've got to ask God to come from outside. But if you've known it in the past, he hasn't gone away. He hasn't given up with you. Maybe you've gone wrong. Maybe you've not lived as you should have lived or whatever, and you're saying, oh, well, that's me, I'm written off. You're not. He's there. He's just waiting for you to turn to him and repent and say, Lord, I need you afresh. Would you do that this morning? Seek him afresh. We had a time yesterday where we just waited on the Lord in silence for half an hour or so. I love it. You know, and you realize it's a bit, that can be a bit like, you know what you have to do? You have to, what is it? A settlement tank.
You know, you have to let the sometimes the water gets very muddy, doesn't it? And cloudy with all the stuff that's going on. And you've got to say, Lord, I'm just going to let it settle. Just got to settle out all the other stuff. And then you sense the pure water of God flowing in your heart again. So that you can be a blessing. The point of the anointing is not just so that you can have a nice relationship with the Lord, and that's great, fundamentally. It's that you can be a blessing to others. Yeah. And you can minister Jesus to others. Yeah. But how can you do it if all you're doing is living on what you've once known? What you once blessed with. It's not, don't live in yesterday's blessing. Yeah. God wants to be fresh water. Yeah. The anointing is to bring you to freshness. So it's new every morning. It comes from him. Now they drunk of that well and they drunk of that well. They didn't just get a drink on that day. It's because that was for good. They'd made a breakthrough and they're able to drink. And that's true for you this morning. You can drink every day the freshness of God. You don't have to wait for Sunday. You don't have to wait for the visiting preacher. You just have to come to him. This is the access that Jesus has made for you. This is what the anointing oil is about. Why he was crushed for you. That you might have the way and the means to know him and to have access directly to God. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? Amen. Amen. I think I'm going to stop there. Let's just stand. And let's worship the Lord. Because you've got to believe it. You've got to accept it and come into it. Yes. Amen. Glory. Let's worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you're fresh this morning. Yes. Thank you that we don't have to live in last week's blessing or yesterday's blessing. We live in the freshness of fresh water that comes from the anointing that you have achieved for us, Lord, that you've broken through and done for us. Glory to God. And we praise you this morning, Lord, that we, every one of us, this is true for every one of us, Lord. It's not just for the pastors. It's not just for the elders. It's not just for the worship leaders. It's for all of us, Lord. We can all come into what you want and live in the anointing that you've given us. Glory to God. Praise your name. This is for us, Lord. We can go out and share that anointing with others, Lord. They can know the freshness of God. We can tell them, show them the way to know you. Glory to God. Praise your name. Thank you for your anointing, Lord, upon our lives. And may we live in it and not ignore it any longer. Not ignore the fact that it's there for every one of us to access. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be thy name. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen.